Well, this period that we in the liturgical churches know as the Christmas season, the 12 days of Christmas, Christmas Day, and the days following are really an interesting sort of season, I've noticed. You know, aside from the liturgical aspects, just our lives and the kind of the rhythms of the world, it seems, are interesting. It's an exciting time. It's tiring. It's busy. It's disorienting. It's a time filled with family, with presents, with eating too much. It's filled with fun trips. It's filled with stressful trips. It's a time where we pause to reflect at the end of the year, setting goals and making resolutions. There's so much going on. And part of the burden that preachers often feel in this season, with so much swirling around, is to remind everyone, ourselves included, about the real meaning of this Christmas season, which is, simply stated in the words of the Gospel of John, that the Word became flesh and lived among us. That is the meaning of the season. And actually, all I want to do this morning is to hold that simple and vital truth before us, to simply remind us of that. But I want to do so in a way that doesn't sort of pit all these other things swirling around as sort of over against the real reason for the season, as if it's a sort of zero-sum game. Rather, I want to encourage you to simply pay attention in the midst of all these things. Because, believe it or not, all of these things going on, all the things going on around us and inside of us, they are all part of the grace upon grace fullness from which we have received, precisely in the Word being made flesh and living among us. If you've been in a discipleship group here at St. George's, then you know that there is a particular question that is at the forefront of our vision for discipleship, and really at the center and beginning of everything we want to be about at St. George's. And that question that we want to continually be asking ourselves is, what is God doing in our lives? What is God doing? What is God doing in our world, in our communities? What is God up to? In this situation, in that relationship, in every tragedy or success, this is the primary and fundamental question that we give ourselves over to. And we do so because we believe that God is always up to something. He is always working and moving in our lives, even if it's not always easy to see exactly how that's the case. And ultimately, we believe this. We believe that God is ever present, moving and working in our lives, precisely because the Word became flesh and lived among us. You see, Jesus Christ is not simply an exemplary life that we point to for how to live rightly or successfully. Nor is he simply the sort of lifeguard that saves us when we're drowning, or whatever other metaphor you want to use for being saved. Now, to be sure, he is these things, but he is so much more. Jesus Christ is himself the center and source of everything that is, including the totality of our lives in all their minutiae and glory. And so to say, as John's gospel does, that this Word through whom all things came into being, the Word whose life is the light of all people, to say that this Word has become flesh and lived among us, has shared in our humanity, in our history, in our suffering and joy. To say all of this is to say that our lives and everything in them have a profound meaning and purpose in this one. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. See, Jesus is not distant from our stories, from our lives. The Word became flesh, intermeshed his divine nature with our humanity, so that our lives, which are so often disparate and confused and muddled with hopes and fears, so that all of this might also be intermeshed with the presence of the one who loved us into being and who brings all these disparate parts of our lives together in the fullness of grace and truth. This is what our reading from John's gospel this morning is cluing us into. To use a phrase from the poet Scott Carnes, Jesus himself is the core in which all journeys meet. The core where all journeys meet. He is at once the center of everything and the one who encompasses everything, even those most scattered and disparate aspects of our lives. I love that image. He is the core where all journeys meet. But it strikes me also that the journey that finds its meaning in him looks different for all of us. You know, for some who have journeyed long and far, who spent their lives searching and laboring for meaning and for answers, Jesus Christ is the end of the journey, the destination, the gift of rest and peace, the treasure sought all along. And for others who've maybe wandered aimlessly or who've spent their lives bound by fear or shame, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is the beginning of a whole new journey, the starting place from which to venture forth into flourishing, into risk, into adventure. And as we look back at the Gospel of John, I'm struck by how in the first chapter we have this description of the Word made flesh, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Word of God becoming flesh and living among us. And then for the rest of John's gospel, we have in many and various ways people encountering Jesus. And these encounters, and in these encounters, we get a fascinating tapestry and variety of experiences that really highlight what it means for all various journeys to meet in Him, in this Word made flesh. Just to give a couple of examples, in John chapter 3, for Nicodemus, the socially prominent leader and teacher of Israel, for him, encountering the Word made flesh was a bewildering thing, upending what he thought he knew, calling into question his rabbinical credentials as he was challenged with the necessity of being born again, which is no small task for someone with so much to lose. But then, just a chapter later, for the Samaritan woman at the well, whose life was bound by shame and misguided pursuits of love, her encounter with Jesus was one of freedom and joy as she discovered that in Him she was fully known and still fully loved. At the end of John's gospel, Pontius Pilate encounters a confounding king whose kingdom is not of this world. While earlier on, Mary and Martha encountered a tender friend who wept with them at the grave of Lazarus before showing himself to be the resurrection and the life. In all of these encounters, in all their variety, and so many others, it was the very same Word made flesh who these people were encountering. In hope and in fear, in confidence and in despair, He comes to us all, shining His light into the darkness and offering us new life in Himself. And so, wherever you find yourself this morning, whether you find your heart full with gratefulness for recent time spent with family, or whether you're still dealing with residual anxiety from time spent with your family, whether you're dreaming about that pecan pie you had last week that was so delicious, or whether you're loathing yourself for eating so much, whether you're looking forward to the new year or dreading what it will bring, or perhaps more realistically, some mixture of all of these things and more, whatever the case, know that the Word made flesh is dwelling among you, is dwelling within and around you. He is always here, comforting you in your fears, loving you through shame, challenging your hardness of heart, and out of His fullness, grace upon grace, He's always ushering you more deeply into His abundant life. He is the core where all journeys meet. He is the starting place of your journey. And he is the end. And so, wherever you find yourself this morning, may you find yourself in him.